This year, the harvest is 250, and as of yesterday, we heard there were 73 taken. I haven't seen updated scores, but we have with us now Dr. Maureen Hackett, who is president of Howling for Wolves. And Dr. Hackett, nice to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
The hunt, do you have any updated numbers on the wolves killed?
Well, our last count, and I believe we take it directly from the DNR site, is 73 wolves as of last night.
And why is Howling for Wolves objecting to this wolf hunt?
Well, first of all, we know that the wolf population in Minnesota is really rare. It's the only original wolf population in the entire lower 48. It's the only population that never went extinct. So those genetic lines of wolves have existed for thousands and thousands of years throughout mankind's history here too. And so we think it's got a real epic meaning to having these wolves, and to wipe them out and take unnecessary reckless risks by having a recreational hunt is really irrational. And we know that 80% of Minnesotans value the wolf, and they want to protect it for future generations. And a wolf hunt does nothing to protect wolves, and in fact, it does just the opposite.
Well, in fact, thank you for forwarding an article from Psychology Today dealing with wolf hunting and its impact on reproduction and the sociality of the creatures. It is a far-reaching impact on the wolf pack.
Yes. Yes. You know, the whole thing, people don't really understand that a wolf is a wolf in a family. If you just take one wolf and put it in the zoo and look at it, that is not a wolf living an entire wolf existence, nor is it showing you everything that is a wolf, which is where they are within their family and their packs, they're called. But really, they're mostly generations of families. And so when you just disrupt that pack, you disrupt a social hierarchy that keeps conflicts low within the pack and also keeps them able to hunt and reproduce controlledly, you know, in a manner. The entire pack raises one litter of pups. And the breeders, or the alpha and male and female, they only breed one time a year, and the male is only in season one time a year. Believe it or not, right along with the female, 6 to 8 weeks, and that's it for the male. So wolves have very controlled breeding, and it's controlled by the social structure. So what this article showed was you start breaking up the social structure, you actually get more breeding in younger wolves that probably is not good for the whole structure of the wolf pack and may create unpredictable effects, which is what we've been saying all along. You know, this is not about harvesting corn. These animals rely on each other.
The loss of the wolf pack, and I did not know that this is the only original wolf pack in the lower 48. They've been reintroduced in the Yellowstone ecosystem to great success, and some startling results have been shown with the wolf pack being reintroduced, especially in foliage and such. What sort of a negative impact do you think disrupting the wolf population in Minnesota would have on the ecosystem?
Well, first of all, disrupting the wolf pack has a negative effect on wolves, which were stable without a hunt. People need to understand there's no reason to manage wolves other than when wolves become in conflict with mankind. But for the most part, the wolves control themselves through, like I said, controlled reproduction. They starve if they don't find food. And if they get into problems with man, which I'm worried and everybody's worried that breaking up the packs will do that, that's a problem. So it's a problem for wolves. But for the ecosystem, my goodness, you know, we have so many wetlands and forests here in Minnesota, and we're noticing already a deterioration in our forest health with, you know, the declining moose. We're not sure what's going on there. And then with, you know, other species of ground nesting birds. So the wolf pack, or the wolf, is the true wildlife manager. The wolf truly is the only wildlife manager that keeps basically ungulate behavior moving, that they don't just sit and browse down in one spot. And so you have better streams and rivers. You actually have better fishing if you have wolves.
One thing I'd like to ask you, and we do have to wrap here quite quickly, Dr. Maureen Hackett, president of Howling for Wolves. Great website, too. We do hear, and I do believe from these ranchers who say that the wolves are killing their livestock, sheep, cattle. The people I've talked to don't claim great numbers, but is it not the truth that they would prefer to take a cow that's, and grazing with others as opposed to moose, for instance?
First of all, an adult moose is hard, but a cow is hard too. They go after the very, very young or the very weak or whatever for ease of hunting because they risk their lives. But we can teach, we can use non-lethal methods as much as possible. And you can actually teach a wolf pack over generations, hey, avoid farmer so-and-so because you'll get, so-and-so got killed. But if you kill all these wolves, they can't teach each other. And they won't, and they'll just keep going to wherever they can go in wolf habitat, but you won't be kind of training a generation. In Minnesota, historically, our wolf livestock conflicts were very low at less than 100 cows and calves, verified killed. Much less than 100, and this year it's way down, but per year. But we would use lethal control on wolves, and we still do. And we're not even arguing that right now. We're trying to get non-lethal methods in, but we're just trying to stop this recreational hunt, which has almost no bearing on managing wolves for the livestock producer. And we're asking the livestock producers to think about, if we use non-lethal methods and lethal methods, if those fail, that's probably in the long run going to help you. So we're at howlingforwolves.org. We really appreciate your having us on. And the main thing we want to emphasize in our new Live and Let Howl campaign is that the wild wolf howls have inspired creativity, art, and music for all of mankind. We want to protect these magnificent voices forever.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hackett. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much.
KFGO Bye-bye. Time, 11:50 a.m. This is the mighty 790 KFGO. I enjoy talking to her. She's on my side on that issue. And we'll have that conversation, which you can share at KFGO.com before the day's over. It's 11:50 a.m. Next stop, our commodity market update.
At Luther Family Buick GMC, our GM-certified pre-owned vehicles.